Well, good morning, everybody. It's great for you to join us here at London Road Baptist Church, and we're based in Lowestoft. And if you've stumbled upon us on your internet search, if you go onto our website and re-click onto this service, you will get a more fuller production songs as well. But it's great for you to join us on this Valentine's Day. I would want to say it's a warm Valentine's Day, but here on the east coast of England, it is very, very chilly. Well, we're still in lockdown, and this morning I'm joined with some of my colleagues here. We've got Chris Thompson, one of our members. He's going to help in the service. We've got John on the camera, and we've got Mark and Martin on the tech desk, and we've got Roy on security on the door. And so we're meeting like this, but though we're meeting like this, God still wants to meet with you and meet with me. You know, these are strange times, as I've said. And, you know, when Job in the Bible, and Job's a man in the Old Testament, that lost everything. And the Word of God says that when Job lost everything that mattered to him, he worshipped. And he worshipped not because of what he'd lost or what he'd had, because he knew something about the true God. And the Word of God says this, that Job stood up and he tore his robe in grief and he shaved his head and then he fell to the ground in worship. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. You know, I shared these few verses at our leadership meeting on Monday in our leadership devotion. And the fact that even as Job lost everything, what he knew about God still caused him to fall on his face and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I understand that you have given, I understand that you have taken away, and I will choose to praise your name. And I'd want to say to us, to myself and to you, even mid-pandemic COVID-19 lockdown, we can say, I don't really understand what's going on, and so much of what's going on is out of my control, but one thing I can control, and one thing I can choose to do, is still praise God. And very often the highest praise comes from the most difficult circumstances. I can choose to substitute, exchange, trade in my problems, my hassles, for the joy of the Lord. And I mentioned that song during the church meeting devotion a couple of weeks ago. And I said during my devotion, I couldn't find a recording. Well, Martin picked up my statement, and Martin Rivett kindly did find one and promptly emailed it to me. And so here it is, to open in our service. As we, like Job, say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I understand you've given, I understand that you've taken away, and I will choose to praise your name, because I'm going to trade in my sorrows for the joy of the Lord.
Not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse. For
Let's turn to prayer and let's say in our prayers, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, amen. In other words, so be it. And so, Lord, we come this morning before you with our sorrows, with all that burdens us, all that invokes our mind, all that seems to dominate our lives. We come to you with our shame, those things that we know are of disappointment to you and ourselves. And with our sorrows and with our shame, we come to you for healing and forgiveness, for restoration, because we want to somehow move on from then through forgiveness and repentance, but also enter into a sense of joy. As the psalmist would say, Lord, return to me the joy of my salvation. Let me again be excited about what it is to know you, to be a Christian, to know I'm chosen, to know I'm special, to know that I'm not a nobody, I'm a somebody who you know. So I want to trade in sickness, I want to trade in pain, and I want to ask you by your Holy Spirit to come upon me and present upon me joy. So thank you, Lord, that I'm pressed, but not crushed. That I may be persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I may be struck down, but I am not destroyed, because I'm blessed beyond the curse. Thank you, Lord, that the promises that you offer endure, and that you can be my strength, and you can be there in the sorrows of the life that at present some of us find overbearing. And so, Lord, thank you for all that you've given in the past. We grieve what we haven't got at the present, but we live expectantly now for the joy of the Lord. May we learn from Job and understand that our real worship of you does not come from the circumstances we find ourselves in, but the recognition of who you are. May we worship you with truth and integrity, because you are a great God. Amen. Let me just say, if you're regular with us each Sunday, next Sunday we're sharing in communion. So our service next week will involve communion. So that's just a pre-warning. So when you click on, make sure you've got a little bit of Ribena or wine or a little bit of bread or biscuit or whatever you want to use in your home. And we're going to share communion next week. Well, it's Valentine's Day, and when I asked Chris Thompson to share his lockdown thoughts, he said he might be late because of all his Valentine's cards that he'll be opening. But then Chris confessed to me that he writes his cards with his left hand, so he doesn't recognize the writing. So he feels loved by many people. But what Chris really wants to do this morning is not work with the illusion of love, but with me joining, telling you that this God loves you. And you don't have to fake love, because his love is authentic. So today, on Valentine's Day, we can remind ourselves that we're all loved by God. And some men this morning will have said to their wives, "I love you," by giving flowers. Some men may have said to their wives, "I love you," by giving you chocolate. Some men might even have said to their wives, "I love you," by giving you perfume. Some men might be running out now because they're embarrassed by what I'm saying, listening to this with their wives. And they're going to go out and buy you probably flowers, chocolate, and perfume. But you know, God says, "I love you," by giving you, by giving me, by giving Chris, his son. And that is true love, available for all. Valentine's Day is an opportunity for you to understand that you are loved, loved by God. So I'm going to invite Chris up now as I depart from the stage, keeping my distance, working within these COVID restrictions. So Chris, great to have you with us this morning, and I'm going to hand over to you, Chris.
Good morning. I'm Chris Thompson. I'm one of the members here at London Road Baptist Church, as Neil said. He's also given away some of my Valentine's secrets, although he doesn't realise I'm actually left-handed anyway, so the cards do look quite realistic. I've been asked to speak about life in lockdown. And firstly, I suppose the main thing that you might notice is my lockdown hair. It's got quite big. I know Neil has the same problem as well, so I'm looking forward to getting a decent haircut. But on a more serious note, I suppose life in lockdown has been tough. Probably not quite as tough for me as some others, but I can only speak for myself. And I think mainly I've noticed the difficulty with seeing friends and family, meeting up with people, visiting people when they're not well and things like that. So I think that's been probably the hardest part for me. And I know certainly for my two sons, that's probably been a hard part for them as well, or it seems harder for the younger people anyway. We've all in our family have all celebrated significant birthdays over lockdown. Nathan was 18, Josh turned 16, and myself and Gail have both celebrated a significant birthday anyway, but that I won't say what, but we're eligible for Saga holidays now. So that's been difficult. Fortunately, both myself and Gail have both been able to continue working. For those that don't know, I'm a detective at Lowestoft Police Station. So it's been business as usual, really, in the police. It's not so bad for me as it is for my colleagues that are on response, that have to kind of go out to all the different shouts that we get. But it's been good to go to work. I do feel sorry for those that have had to work at home or that have lost their jobs as well, because going into work, it is it's good to have a change of scenery and meet up with colleagues and things like that. So I've been fortunate in that respect, definitely. And one thing this year, particularly with me, over the last year, I've started running as well. I hated it at first, and it was just prior to the lockdown, but I've now become to really enjoy running and enjoy looking forward to it, although over the last week I haven't got out because of the bad weather that we've had here. But initially when I started running, which would have been last January, I found it a struggle, and one thing that I did was I felt in my mind that I was going to run for God, and that actually helped me continue with it. And we're very blessed with the scenery that we have on the beach and the seafront here, and I've kept going and I've enjoyed it. And I can really, for anybody that's thinking of starting running, I can highly recommend it. It's really good for your mental health particularly, and obviously your fitness and everything like that. But even if you can't run, to get out and walk on the seafront, I see lots of other members of the church on the seafront on my runs as well. And it's easy to take where we live for granted, but I could definitely recommend getting out there anyway. And you know, I appreciate not everybody can, and but if you can, that's good. So life in lockdown for me, although it's been difficult and challenging, it's not as challenging as it has been for others. And so we're going to take a time in prayer now just to remember some of the challenges that we're having in lockdown. So Lord, I'd like to pray for the whole COVID situation with the world, nationally, the politicians, all the scientists that are working on vaccines, and all the medical staff that are on the front line. Lord, we pray that you'll keep them safe, and we pray for a swift end or certainly a big improvement to the way things are going. And we hope that we'll all learn lessons as a result, and we'll all be stronger as a result, and you'll bring us together more, Lord. And closer to home, I'd like to pray for the list that was sent out on the news sheet, the prayer requests on those. And on the news sheet there was an urgent request for prayer for children and families during lockdown. So I'd like to pray for those, Lord. So we pray for all the children and families in our area, in our church, during lockdown, but particularly those that are suffering with anxiety, dealing with homeschooling, and families with COVID, with relatives with COVID. And Lord, we pray for the families with all the financial worries that's brought with employment. And we also pray for the teachers and the school staff who've been supporting children. We pray that you keep those safe, Lord. And we pray for our youth group, or the youth groups at church, and all the leaders and helpers that are involved with that. And for those young people that attend the groups, although they're attending them online, we pray that they know that they are loved by you, Lord. And we pray for specific members of our church that need prayer. And we pray for Sally Moon, who is grieving with the death of her mother at the moment. We pray for Gordon and Heather Wright. Heather had a brief stay in JPH recently, and she's on the mend. We pray for her, Lord. We pray for David and Christine Squibb. Christine is expecting the result of her MRI scan next week. Lord, we pray for David and Christine. We pray for Janet Beckett, who's still in JPH. And others, Lord, that are mentioned on the list that we ask prayer for is Tracy and Gordon Scott, Flish Chapman, Rick and Irene Hughes, Clive and Marilyn Patterson, Vi Cropley, and David and Madeline Halliday. And Lord, we just like to leave a bit of space just to offer up prayer for anyone else that we can think of that need to know you, Lord, at this difficult time. Amen. So I've been asked to do the readings today, and they are from John 3, verses 16 to 18, and from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. And that particular verse in Corinthians, 21 years ago today, I proposed to my wife. She said yes, by the way. And then 20 years ago, not today, but 20 years this year, was our wedding, and we had the verse that I'm going to be reading from Corinthians in that, which is pure coincidence. I know probably a lot of people had it in their wedding, but God moves in mysterious ways. So here are the readings. This is John 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And the second one from Corinthians. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. Amen. And I believe we're now going to be watching a video, which is God's Valentine. Thank you.
Well, thanks for that, Chris. That was really good and helpful. And as Chris has mentioned, and I've mentioned, it's Valentine's Day today, and I've called this morning's message a God who tells us he loves us. I don't know if you heard about the man who visited the florist shop, which showed a large sign outside, and it said, "Say it with flowers." And the man went in and he said, "Wrap up one rose, please." And the woman behind the counter said, "Only one?" And he said, "Yes, only one, because I'm a man of few words." But you know, God is a God of many words who wants to tell you and I on this day and every other day that he loves us. According to my Google search in the week, I found that over 1 billion Valentine's cards are now sent worldwide. Valentine himself is a real figure in history. He was a 3rd century monk in Rome who questioned the Roman authorities who were demanding that men didn't marry at the time and left their partners and went on war crusades. And Valentine said that if men are going away, they need to be married. And it was through his understanding of marriage and commitment that he ended up being executed. So Valentine is a real person. That's why it's called Saint Valentine's Day. But you know, of these Valentine's cards, I was reading that 85% of Valentine's cards are purchased by women. 3% of the population send their pet a Valentine's card. I know my daughter sent my black Labrador called Beamer one many years ago. I'm told that 65% of households participate in Valentine's Day celebrations. That means 35% of you don't. 44% of the population celebrate with a Valentine's romantic meal. 38% of women will receive chocolate. 32% will receive flowers. 12% will receive perfume. And according to the card manufacturer Hallmark, the proportion of all Valentine's Days purchased within 2 days prior to the observance of Valentine's Day is nearly 40%. And of that 40%, 78% of these are men, the procrastinators who leave it to the last moment. But it was not just a couple of days ago, but now over 2,000 years ago, that Jesus told the human race that God loved them. Not with one of those obscure Valentine's cards with no name, but very publicly by sending his son. And I want to parallel this morning the message of Valentine's Day with the message of Jesus Christ. I want to parallel with the message about the one and only God who tells the whole world that he loves them. And that most important verse, and for many is the pivotal verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And a lot of people say, well, that is the whole Christian message, the message of Jesus. And God loving you is called the gospel. And gospel is not an imaginative word in that sense. It's an Anglo-Saxon word, which simply means good news. And in that one verse is the good news. It sums up Christianity in one verse. Because first of all, my first point is, it talks about a God who cares. It says, "For God so loved the world." The whole thing of loving you started with him. God made the first move and did something. Now, when I was sort of 14, 15 in the youth club, it was very difficult to find out if you could go out with another girl in the youth club. This is before the days of texting, of before the days of Facebook and WhatsApp, and I'm going to confess something now, but what you would do, you would get your mate to ask another girl if she would go out with you. And your mate would go up to that girl and say, "Oh, do you want to go out with so-and-so?" And if she said no, your mate would say, well, I was only joking. It was my idea to save face. Mind you, most of the women in my life have always said yes, but that's another sermon. I have to be careful what I say. But you'd say to your mate, go and ask that girl, will she go out with me? And the girl would normally say no, and your mate would say, well, it was only joking. And it was a big issue in my adolescence. Who asked who out? Who asked who out? And it was another big issue. And when I did youth work, who chucked who? But that's another sermon. And they were the two big questions. But I want to tell you that God is the one who takes the initiative, and he wants to ask you out. And he can live with the fact of you saying no. But he wants to know, he wants you to know that he is asking you out. Because this God cares. And few seem to care today. We live in a society where care is diminishing. And God cares for you out of a loving nature. The Bible tells us that God is love. And it's really interesting that Chris shared this morning that that Corinthian passage, which tells you what love is, was at Chris's wedding. Now, the Bible tells us that God is love, so you can really take the word love from that Corinthian passage and replace it by the word God, because God is love. So you can say that God is patient. God is kind. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. Because of Jesus, if you know Jesus, God will keep no record of wrongs. That's forgiveness. God does not delight in evil. God rejoices in truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes that you're going to respond to him. God always perseveres. He'll keep asking you and telling you throughout your life that he loves you. Because God's love never fails. If you want to know what this God is like, Paul tells us what God is like in 1 Corinthians. Like apples grow from a tree, love comes from God. And rather than condemn, God chooses to love. And God cares for us all. He cares for every person in the world, every human being ever born, every human being ever lived, every human being still living, and every human being to live. No exceptions. Because it says, whoever believes in him. And you and I are both whoever's. Have you ever been left out? Or others got something you didn't? I was sharing the other week about my hate of football, but I know what it was like to be left out. I was sharing with Mark, our Sporty Spice, who's doing the PA deck this morning. He's into football, and if you, like Chris has talked about, people running about on the seafront, if you ever see Mark Dorling, one of our treasured deacons, he's a very good deacon and trustee, but he's an awful example of a sportsman because he's always running about in his sporty gear on the seafront with his baseball cap on the wrong way around. But he likes that because he's always chosen for the football team. If you was having a game of church football, you'd say, come on, Mark. He'd be very, very high up the agenda. We want you, Mark. We want you. I know what it's like to be the person left out because I can't play football. And I know what it's like to be at a school sports field where the teams would be arguing not to have me. And I can remember those words from the PE lessons at school. You had him last week, we better have him this week. But God misses nobody out. God wants you involved in his life every week. And God cares for the whole world, not merely some. God loves you. Now, this might sound a bit creepy, but you might be at home now with somebody, and I'm going to lay a challenge to you. Whoever you're listening to this sermon with at home, because I'd have done this if you was in the church here. Just turn round to them and say, do you know, John, God loves you. Chris, God loves you. Mark, use their name. And tell them by name that God loves them, because you're repeating a fact. It's not your opinion. But equally, if you sat by yourself, use your own name and you can say, Neil, or God loves me. And you need to understand that you are not left out of this opportunity to be God's Valentine. God loves you. And secondly, there's this God who acts. It says he gave his one and only son. Actions speak louder than words. My mother used to say that. Words come cheap, actions speak louder than words. And my wife will often say, look, if you loved me, you wouldn't do that, or you would do this. If you loved me, you'd manage to get your socks in the washing basket. How on earth are we going to demonstrate we love each other if it isn't demonstrated in action? I'm always amazed when I hear men say, I don't need to send my wife a Valentine's card because she knows I love her. How does she know? How does your wife, how does your husband, how does your mother, how does your father, how does your brother, how does your sister, how do your friends know that you love them? Love needs to be validated into action. That's why Paul, who also spoke about the passage that Chris had at his wedding, talks about the Holy Spirit, and he says that love is a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, what Paul's saying is that as fruit grows, love needs to grow. It needs to blossom. It needs to multiply. And love void of action is a meaningless sentiment. Telling a man in a condemned cell that you feel sorry for him, or he ought to have behaved better, doesn't benefit him. He needs mercy, not sympathy or more condemnation. And so in sending Jesus, God did what was necessary, not what was nice. He knew that only the death of Jesus, that for all those faults that we play, that somebody has to pay the price, and only the Jesus could pay that price. And God offered nothing less. As I said earlier in the service, on Valentine's Day, some men say, I love you with flowers. Some men say, I love you with perfume. Some men say, I love you with chocolate. But God says, I love you not with flowers, perfume, or chocolate, but by sending my son to die for you. An act of such cost, the cost of his only son. And I've often used that dated Rolo advert from the pulpit. You can tell how much you are loved by someone by what they sacrifice for your sake. And we used to have that advert when it used to say, who would you give your last Rolo to? God never gave his last Rolo, but he gave his first and one and only son. What a paradox. Some of us won't even give our last Rolo away to somebody who loves us, but God gave his one and only son. The Bible says to those of us who, before we understand this whole Christianity, actually hate this God. Let me just read you what Romans 5, 8 and 10 says. This is by the same man who wrote the Corinthian passage that Chris has had his wedding. This is written by the same man who tells us about the fruit of the Spirit is love. And this is what Paul writes in Romans 5, verses 8 and 10. God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him? For when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? God loves us before we love him back. And finally, I want to tell you about a God who invites, because the Bible says whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, Valentine's days are often sent by secret admirers. You know, I had besides my wife, I think I've only had one other Valentine's card, but I got a Valentine's card when I was about 13, and it was written in secret ink, and it was so secret I never knew who sent it. And I tried everything to try and find the name on the card. And it was only when I gave up and threw it on our Parkway fire, as the heat of the flames went on the card, the text suddenly appeared, but it burnt before I could read it. And it was only many, many, many years later I find out who sent me that card. And that person believed that I knew they'd sent that card. But you know, God's love for us is no secret. It's an invitation to love him back to everybody. It's public and it's addressed to everybody. You know, if you've never been told by anybody that you're loved, then this verse is for you. God loves you warts and all. My wife still sends me Valentine's card and I still send her Valentine's card. We've been married for 42 years and we went out with each other for about 4 years before that. That means we've exchanged 46 Valentine's cards. And do you know, there's been times when I didn't deserve a Valentine's card. As contrary to public opinion, there is the odd occasion when I am not the perfect husband. And if she knew everything about me, she might not send me one next year. But you know, God knows everything about you and I, and the Bible tells us that he still loves us. I love it where the Bible, Chris talked about haircuts. I was going to get my hair cut this week, but I do it outside on the patio so it doesn't leave a mess, and it's been minus two. So next week I'm going to get my hair cut on the patio. And the Bible tells us that this God who loves us counts the numbers of hairs on our head. That is intimacy. But I don't know if you've ever seen a courting couple. When you first go out with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you spend a lot more time staring at them and noticing every detail about them than you do now. Do you still stare intimately at your partner with a smile on or a frown on? But people notice detail when they love. I've got grandchildren now, and I'm rediscovering what it is to notice detail as they're growing up. But this God knows what you think. He knows what you've done. He knows what you're like on the inside. And still he says, I love you. An offer from which no one is excluded. And God's invite is not merely for people of one race, one culture, one class, one financial position, one spiritual level, one goodness level, one education, or one age. It's for everyone. It's a whoever invitation, an offer for all to qualify. No special knowledge, training, wisdom. All that's needed is a heartfelt belief in God's Son Jesus. An offer by which everyone can find eternal life, because nothing less is offered. And so often we chase pounds, we chase power, we chase prestige, we chase pleasure, and we chase people. But God invites us to receive life forevermore and chase him. Some of you may have had to chase or pursue your partners until they're weakened. God both chases us and seeks us and wants us to chase him back. And he does all of that despite the mistakes he knows we have made. If it's not Valentine's Day and you see a man in a florist, you can probably start up a conversation by saying, "What did you do?" God knows what we do and still loves us. I just wonder how many relationships never happened because people are frightened to say to the other person, "I love you." Of that risk of rejection. And the great message of John's Gospel, chapter 3, 16, is God makes himself vulnerable and says, "Look, I love you." You know, when people send love letters or Valentine's card, maybe this is me, maybe I'm a romantic, but I didn't do it on this year's Valentine's card. But after they lick the card, put your tongue round and give it a lick and put it down, they used to write "swark." I don't know if I'm showing my age now, but they used to write S-W-A-L-K along the gummed surface. And that used to mean sealed with a loving kiss. But when we look at a cross like that in our church, we need to remember that God's promise was sealed with the Saviour's blood. Not a loving kiss, but the Saviour's blood. You know that all these flowers that we've purchased for Valentine's Day will one day perish. And Jesus warns us of the inevitability that one day all human beings will perish if they don't accept Jesus. Because Jesus' invitation also has a warning if you reject it. Not popular, but it's there if Jesus is to be taken at his word. Facts remain facts, even if we dispute them. And that's why also in John's Gospel, very soon after these verses, Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So here's the challenge for this Valentine's Day sermon to each of us individually: to accept God's care for them, to believe that God acted for them by sending his Son, and to commit themselves in response to his invitation. But what's the responsibility to us as church, to those of us who know that we're loved by God? That if God has done all of this for the whole world, then the whole world should know. We cannot know that God loves the world, acted for the world, and invites the world, and keep this knowledge as our private possession. We cannot be true friends with our work colleagues, our neighbours, our families, if we really believe that one day they'll perish without Jesus, and so remain silent. In one sense, the call to mission could not be clearer. True love, the real message of Valentine's Day, talks of a God who cares, talks of a God who acts, and talks of a God who invites. And as Chris reminded us in our reading, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's the real meaning of love, not just to be celebrated on Valentine's Day by a few, but to be celebrated every day by the whole world. I hope you've got something this morning out of this Valentine's Day message. Maybe you'd like to reflect on what I've said now as you just reflect on this wonderful song. It's called Reckless Love, and it talks about this God who is risky and reckless and tells you, even when you are alien to him, that he loves you. He tells you that he loves you even if you choose not to love him back. You can choose not to love him, but you cannot stop him loving you. That's his choice. Pick up the words of this song and meditate on the reckless love of this God.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind. Kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Well, it's been great being with you on this Valentine's Day. Some of you will have time now to get the cards and flowers that you've forgotten. You can reflect on everything that I've said. If you want any prayer for anything, please, if you're a regular, contact Bill and I. You know their details and they'll pray with you. If you want to get in touch with this church, we're accessible through our website. And when we meet together as community, you'll be really welcome to join us. But if we can engage with you in the meantime, we would love to do that. Don't forget, next week's communion, have some bread and some wine or a cracker and some grape juice or whatever you want to use. And we're going to share communion next week together. So I want to say bye to you all. It's been great to be with you. It's goodbye from Chris and John and Martin and Mark and Roy and Fox. And as we come to an end, we're going to listen to this wonderful song. Maybe you want to sing it. Here is love, vast as the ocean. Bye and see you next week.